I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Welcome back to Warriors plus minus. I'm here with my guy Tim Kawakami. This is Marcus Thompson. And still no Jonathan Kuminga news.
No, John Kuminga.
Actually, there is a bit of news. It's a little bit. The Warriors have, and Brett Siegel also reported this too, so I wanted to give him a shout out. The Warriors have pushed away from the sign and trade table.
Like, MT, I wrote that today, by the way. You're busy at the World Track, whatever track and field thing you are, and wherever you are. I'm Northwest, rainy.
Yeah, I've been Track Town, USA.
Yeah, so I wasn't saying I was reporting exclusively. Others have intimated or reported it, but I heard from a Warrior source last night, yesterday evening, definitively they are not trading John Kuminga. Now, that doesn't mean never, ever, and that doesn't mean you probably can't do it, even if you say you're not going to do it, but sounds like they've kind of like, they weren't, you know who doesn't want to trade him, right? You know who doesn't want to trade him in the organization, and that person has not gotten anything close to the offer that he thinks Kuminga's worth. So where does it go from?
Like, he's gone. He's like willing to do it, right? Like, that was a concession itself, like trade your last possible piece from the big deal. So the difficult part is getting him to now take something that he doesn't think would be worthwhile, right? Yep. Like, that's like the compromise just is too much, I think.
Yeah. And it's got to be in advance. You know, you understand what they're saying now. Listen, they're staring at if Kuminga takes qualifying offer and he has no trade clause and you're not going to sign him, you're essentially getting, you know, you're not getting much or anything back from him. But I think the Warriors' argument is they have not been offered something. Let's just take the Sacramento offer that, I can't even remember now. Sam Amick reported from
Carter.
The Athletic. That it's, you know, it's no, he said it's Malik Monk and a,
oh, yeah, and Monk and a conditional pick.
Protect
take first. Monk, to be honest. I think they
take Monk, but they'd have to give back Moody, or to make it work because of the base year compensation, they have to give back Moody or Hield to make the money work. So, what do you actually get? You know, people get mad at me, mostly Kings fans. Like, if you're giving up Kuminga and let's say Moody and you're getting back Malik Monk at a protected first, are you going forward if you're doing that? I mean, just from values and just value. I don't think you're going forward with that. Now, listen, you don't want to lose Kuminga for nothing, but I understand what the Warriors are saying. It's like a protected first doesn't do a ton for them. Unprotected first, then it's a different conversation. And I don't know. I mean, you and I have always liked Malik Monk. I don't know that fits, you know, with Steph and with Jimmy and with James. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure about that. I like him as a player, though, but I don't know.
I mean, he's actually what they don't have, right? Like, and we've said this about, you know, Dennis Schroeder, right? And then
yes, guess and who's on the same team?
Yeah, where it's like somebody who from the top can get to the rim off the dribble,
yep,
good in ISO, right? And Malik Monk is actually that guy, right? He's one of the better ones in the league at getting downhill, creating offense to himself. And that has value after how the season ended, right, in Minnesota, where they literally couldn't do it without Steph. So I think out of all the guys, like, he doesn't fit the Warriors, but he's the opposite that attracts as well as just about anybody in this league. But he's not a kid, right? He's not young. And he's got some other issues, including defensively, that you could see – will make them say, hey, I'm not giving up too much for this guy,
yep,
you know. And it's one of those situations where he hurts the Warriors, but that'll be, you know, Dennis Schroeder hurt the Warriors.
Exactly. Like, we've said it, like, the Warriors do need different, but then sometimes different arrives and it just doesn't fit. Like, there's a reason why it's different, because they do things in a certain way. Schroeder only got a half season to it, but he was terrible in that half season. And I thought it would be great, you know, like, Steph off the floor, just have Schroeder run pick and roll, and maybe he gets you 14 points, 16 points a game. Sometimes goes for 26. Just never, ever came close to happening, just because they do stuff in a certain way. And the thing with Butler is Butler does stuff like that, but he does it their way. And it's hard to figure out who's going to work that way and who's going to not. Again, I think Monk's player. Monk's, he's a good player. But I'm saying if it was just Monk and the protected pick Kuminga, yeah, that's fine. Don't think it's a great deal. That's fine. I'd probably have to do that deal if I'm the Warriors. But you add Moody. Let's say it's Moody. Well, then you need another Moody, right? Then you need another wing. Then
do you though? I think you kind of do, but you kind of don't. You'd be banking on some other guys to fill in the void, but they already have a logjam. If you do the Kuminga for Malik Monk, just straight, right, and you know the pick or whatever, and it's not Moody in it, mm-hmm. you got Monk, Moody, Pods, Buddy Hield, all going for one spot basically.
It's two.
It's not two.
Backup three. It's the backup three.
They're running. Bro. You got to play next to Steph. Who's playing next to Steph?
Well, no, it's the two or the three. That's what I'm saying. It's the starting two and the backup
Jimmy,
three. That's two spots.
Jimmy, Steph, Horford,
Draymond.
Draymond. That's four.
Yeah.
One spot.
There's 48 minutes in a game, right? I'm saying
they're playing 30.
Yeah, it's still a rotation spot. It's still 18 to 24.
I'm saying we've seen them, like, without taking Monk out the picture, we've seen them have a hard time. They haven't been able to play three of them. It's either Moody, Potts, or Buddy, or out of those two, one of them is sitting.
Yeah.
Right? And you also talk about adding Melton to the mix and Malik Monk. Like, they got to get rid of somebody if they do it straight
strength
up. Somebody's
numbers,
not going to play.
Strength of numbers empty. Well, no, but you're subtracting Kuminga and Moody. You're subtracting.
But Kuminga wasn't players. In the mix, though.
He was not in the regular season.
He's playing four.
Yeah, but you could bump Jimmy up to four. They do it all the time. Like, these positions are fluid because they claim that Moody can bump to the four. Like, you can, like, that's interchangeable. I see what you're saying, but guys get hurt.
Steve's ain't doing it, though. That's the thing that Monk, I think, fits. Because if you're saying Steph's not going to play some games, Jimmy's not going to play some games, who's going to carry the offense? Monk got a better chance of doing that, I think, just to how he plays. He can say, all right, I got the ball, I'll run the offense.
Oh, no question. He's a talented guy. Was having hell on the Warriors. Was hell on him in that playoff series. I agree with all that. I just don't want to give up Kuminga and Moody or Kuminga and Hield. Hield actually is more important. We both know that Hield's more important to the Warriors than Moody is. Just the fit, just the way they play. That's why he was guaranteed minutes even when he wasn't shooting very well. But and also the fit with Jimmy, which is not minor. It's not minor. But I wouldn't give up two of those things. I just wouldn't. Or I'd want to get
a first round pick.
Yeah, I'd want an unprotected first round pick. That's a different conversation because the way I'm thinking. Is you're trying to gain assets to try to make this the honest thing, and I get Milwaukee people so infuriated when I say this, but I don't think they're in the race for Giannis really because they don't have enough stuff. But if you can keep gathering stuff, like in my back of my mind, and with the Warriors too, it's something like what stuff are we gathering to make a Giannis move? And wait a minute, if we just can figure out a way to keep Kuminga on the roster, and that's my compromise, is instead of just a 1+1 offer, make him a 1 year plus a second year that's partially guaranteed, not zero guaranteed, partially guaranteed, then you could trade that. That could be part of what you can trade for Giannis. I just think if you think of it that way, if you're doing it for Monk plus unprotected first-round pick and you're giving up Kuminga and Moody, how are you moving
all
forward?
Pieces.
Yeah, how are you moving forward?
Yeah. Giannis.
Yeah, how are you moving forward on a Giannis? And Malik Monk is not getting a Giannis, right? Malik Monk is a no part of a Giannis.
I mean, it could be the money part, right?
I guess so, but they'd want to move it.
But the point is, they don't have the money part. That's what they don't have.
You need to maintain the money part, and that's again, if they can possibly keep Kuminga on a short term deal, that would continue the money slot. All true. It's what they did with D'Angelo Russell. It's what they did with Jordan Poole. Who's that? And I think they would like to do that with Kuminga. Again, they're staring this down. No super deadline coming up close. But, MT, I would rather wait it out if I'm them. I would rather wait it out if I'm them than give up Kuminga and Moody. That's what I'm saying.
This is what they're thinking. Like, this is a pretty gangster bet. I bet you they're thinking you're not taking the qualifying offer.
Yeah.
You're not doing it, and we're gonna get you for the money. Like, we're gonna get you for the price. Yep. And look, so he was offered 21.7 in the first year, which with the raise in the second year, I think 8.5% puts it at about, you know, 45 million, right?
Yeah, 23 years.
Over 2 years. Yeah. Right. Now, if he takes the qualifying offer, he's almost guaranteed to lose money over 2 years.
No question. No
guarantee. He would have to sign for like $37 million in the first year of a new deal.
Now, that second year is not guaranteed. Now, second year is not guaranteed.
It is. It's guaranteed. Like, he's getting it one way or the other.
It's not. Like, but I know what you're saying.
It one way or the other. The question is, like if he signs for 21.7, and then in the second year of a new deal, or if he signs for 8, and then, you know, for the second year of a new deal, signs for 25. That's like $10 million less than what he would have gotten.
Yep.
Over the, like, you'd have to know, or he'd have to be saying, like, I want to get out of here so badly that not only am I going to risk injury in a year and not get paid, I'm going to almost ensure I'm going to take less money right now. I'm going to decide right now that I'm taking less money to get away from you. This is a guy who's still on a rookie deal. Clay did it. But Clay's made a bunch of money already. Yep. You know, he got the Anta money and all this stuff. He can afford to say, whatever, I'll take a few million dollars less from you. Kuminga, like, the whole idea of betting on himself would be to take the 21.7, maybe get a player option at best, and then try to get a player option with it, which wouldn't help the Warriors at all anyway. So why would they do it? You're just paying him more money than a qualifying offer for him to leave at the end of the year. But, like, you take that deal and you go and play. You take $8 million and Steve not playing you, you're in a worse situation.
Yep.
And you're taking less money.
Your next deal might be 14. Really, literally, it might be the veteran.
I mean, right now, what's the market for him? If he's out there, what's the market for him? 15, 18?
Yeah, starting at 18. I think it starts at 18. And that's one other thing, you know.
Like, nobody's giving him 25.
Nope. I think he's veteran. I think he's taxpayer mid-level. I think that's – or he could be the full non-taxpayer mid-level. I'm sorry. It should be that one, which is 14.
Or this is like a restricted market. Like, it's not a good year to be out there, as everybody knows. And next year, it should be different, right? Like, next year when it's – when he's free, when, you know, more teams have cap space – maybe he hits the lottery. Like, he could be thinking that, but that's probably true if he takes the 21.7 or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's $10 to $12 million that he will never get back. You know, I just don't think he's ever getting it. But now he could say it's freedom, it's my decision, and I get that. But man, it's hard to say goodbye. And I think if the qualifying offer was a good thing, he would have taken it already. Like, he would. It's just, this wouldn't be a conversation anymore. It's not a good deal for him. He knows it. The Warriors know it. It's the last ditch thing, and they do have time. He still could take it, but man, I just don't know. And and it gives him a no trade clause, right? If he wants it, you're on a 1 year deal and you could approve a trade, but if he gets traded on the 7.9, you can't give him an extension off of that because you could only extend him off of 7.9. You can't extend him to 20 unless you have got cap room. And again, as we know, every team in the league is struggling for cap room. So, I mean, in some ways, the Warriors are daring him to take this qualifying offer. It's bad for both sides. You probably don't want to force him to do it. You don't want him to go, I have no other options, I have to do this. That's why there should be some negotiating room.
But he will have another option. It'll be take 45.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the other option.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And you know, they're pretty insistent that they have the highest, even there's been no other offer, right? There's been no true offer to John Kuminga because you have to go through the Warriors on that unless you have cap room. But if we judge it based on what's been reported about the Sacramento offer, it's 3 for 63, right? So that starts at less than 20 with raises. So the Warriors is like, we have the highest salary on the table at 21 and 23, even though it's not guaranteed at 23. Like, they can up that though. But
They get no value to not guarantee, to not pick it up. The whole reason for signing him would be to keep the salary.
Well so then they
why
should,
turn around and get rid of him?
Well, then just guarantee it then. Then they should just guarantee it. Then why
I don't know if they're not. I mean, unless he gets hurt or something, then you want to cut it. But
yeah, so the reporting is that they haven't guaranteed it. So I would just say guarantee a big chunk of it. Like, so he's guaranteed $35 million you know, something like that. And, you know, Jonathan thinks himself as a $30 million player. We know that. So, like, okay, you're $30 million. You're guaranteed $30 million. If all else fails, you're getting $30 million. And it, and if you're great and things go well, then you'll be traded. And that's the way this is going to work. And you get a higher base number to start with. That's so important. Like, you need that number to base your next extension off of. You don't want that number to be 7.9. You want it to be 24. So it just makes sense to do that. I'm not sure why they haven't all get that. And, you know, I have not talked specifics about where the offers are other than, you know, I've heard that they are insistent they have the highest offer on the table and that they're not trading them. Like, they are not, in their minds, they are not trading them. But that's also because they've canvassed everyone else. Not like they were totally against it, but the feeling is
that the offers aren't there.
Yeah, the offers aren't there. And they weren't that interested in it that maybe that's what they're saying now, but
not now.
Yeah. They weren't that interested in it anyway. You know, they needed to get knocked over. They just need to increase the value. They need to be the day that they move Kuminga. If they do, they need to be feel better about what their assets are than they were with John Kuminga. And what that Sacramento offer is, as reported by others, does not do that in my mind. It just doesn't. It gets the Kuminga thing over with, but that's one thing. They're, you know, it's an old VC move. Like, they're not dealing with the PR. They can. They're okay with that. They're okay with everyone in the league saying, "My God, the Warriors haven't done anything." Now, are they going to be okay with that in September? I don't know. Like, we're not in. We're not in.
Yeah, like
they're kind of. They're not like. They're not moved by a lot of this stuff. They have their
think about all the things that have happened in this franchise over the last decade. The Kuminga's gonna blow it up like an unhappy Kuminga. That's
no.
This is the same locker room that had DeMarcus Cousins in it, right?
Like, with KD's last year.
This is like they can handle this. I think they know that. That's where they're like, you're gonna come back. You and Steve will figure it out, and we're going to get the proper value that we think for you, you know. And I do still believe that there's a part of it. It's like he's still our long-term play. Like, if this thing could work out well and we could pivot back to where we thought anyway, and, you know, once Steve and Steph are gone, you know, JK is a piece they want to have. I still think there's that sentiment in the organization.
At least some parts of it.
It's still alive in the organization.
And I think
if he goes out and plays well, and or this thing goes another direction, and that's the sale. That's what I'd be selling to him. Hey, this could be all yours if you just ride this out with us. You know, I don't know how appealing that sounds as long as, you know, he doesn't know when his minutes are going to be. Like, he seems to really want this quote-unquote guarantee of a start or minutes, which I don't know how you could trust that in today's NBA anyway. Like, the team tells you you're guaranteed a start spot, you believe in that?
Hey, Sacramento Kings tell you something, MT, you got to bank on it. Sacramento Kings are telling me something.
You don't even know who's going to be coaching Sacramento February, right?
Oh, Christy, come on. They're forever. He's like, okay. Perfect coach.
Till Vivek sees somebody else.
I get the Kuminga stance. It's just he's restricted free agent. Like, if he was an unrestricted free agent, he's gone. If he had signed this deal last year, he would have been traded by
now. He's gone.
It's just like, this is just the way it worked out. And, you know, nothing against either side. They did what they did. You understand both sides. But I've said this before. I think I was talking with an old colleague by Anthony Slater a little while ago. Like, they should have just done this deal last year. They should have just done it, gulped it down. 3 years, you know, whatever, $75 million, it would have been an overpay at that point. But you're betting on, you know, the upswing. You're betting on the company's 21.
Kuminga's not taking a 3-year deal last year, though.
You think so? I mean, I think he might.
It doesn't happen. Off your rookie deal, it doesn't happen.
I think he might have. Again, I mean, if he doesn't, he doesn't. And again, I would get. But like, if you just have him done, then he's traded by now because you don't have this base year crap to have to deal with. So, like, just try to. This is what I kind of got barked at yesterday by saying, it's you guys are breaking up. Like, it's going to happen. And that person said, no, it's not. No, but I don't think that person was, you know, purposely was not taking it again. Like, he could be traded January, February. But, like, you just got to get the bridge to January, February so you can trade him in January, February without the base year. It's just like this dance around that. And, you know, what's best for Kuminga is, you know, compromise because he wants to go. But if he gets $30 million, $35 million guaranteed, that's a nice side effect. And it's not best for Warriors because they want better pieces back for him. But, you know, maybe he's waited out and you get to January, February and see where it is. And maybe he's playing great at that point. You know, maybe somehow he's figured out what he needs to do. He's playing terrifically. And then all of a sudden he's actually a $32 million a year player. And you wouldn't want to be playing at $7.9 million at that point. You would want to be playing at
22. That 21.7 will look a whole lot better. Huh?
Yes. That's what I think the Warriors, like, he cannot be ready to turn down 21.7 or take 7.9. That's just math. It's just, there's no way to make that up. And maybe it's a hard line on the Warriors, and you can say they should have some more wiggle room, but they're like also saying, who's got the offer that's better than this? Like, even the team that wants you most, the team that is not offering you that much money, theoretically, then they haven't seen the offer sheet. It's not been out there because the Kings can't give them an offer sheet because they don't have the cap space. They have to do it as a sign and trade. So you have to involve the Warriors. So I don't know. MT, you think this is coming to a close soon, or you think
I do. I've always thought early August would be the end. I'd be surprised if it, like, if we're talking about this next week and there's no movement at all, I'd be surprised because there's only one move left to play at that point, right? Unless something happens in the league that shakes things up and somebody ends up with more willing to say, all right, we really like Kuminga, but now we can go a little higher. I don't know how teams' finances will change by then, but there are some big moves out there that could theoretically happen. I mean, Shams today was talking about Giannis. Teams are still waiting on Giannis. Exactly. Yeah, so it's like, yeah.
Who knows?
There's a thing out there, right? So, you know, if other teams' situation change, that's a deal breaker. But what changes between now and camp that alters this landscape at all? Like, this is like we're over a month. Like, what's going to change? So, at this point, it's just like, hey, do you take the qualifying offer or do you don't? Do you take the? At some point, you got to say, all right, let's move forward. What's going to happen? I don't have any options here. To me, he doesn't have any options. I understand he's got the $8 million qualifying offer, but if I'm him, that's just not an option. I'm not turning it down. Yep. Yeah, but if it is, then take it then, right? Yep. If it is, then go ahead and take it. So, I do think it comes to a resolution pretty soon here. And then I think there's some other questions to have. Like for instance, like we're talking about Malik Monk. Melton comes back on his roster because apparently, from what I've been told, Melton, Horford, GP2 are all waiting on this Kuminga situation to resolve in order for them to sign their deals. Because it could shake out in a way where they're getting more money. Yeah. But, you know, they're prepared to sign. They're just waiting for the Kuminga situation to resolve. When that happens, you're adding Melton to Moody, Pods. You know, we're back to the same square again. Yeah. What do you do then? And then you add, you know, Richards to the mix, who they like. I'm not even going to bring up the other guy.
He ain't gonna be playing much in this season. Let's just put it.
But like, how does this? I mean, they clearly love Melton, right? He was good for them for his six games he was there. Are you choosing Melton again
over Pods
and Moody and Hield and obviously, you know, Kuminga to a degree? Like, how does this work? Do you have to make a move somehow?
What do you mean, trade somebody? No, I think
I don't know. I feel like
because again, you also got to bake in though. Steph might not play 70 games again. He might play 55, right? Or Jimmy, the same thing. Draymond, the same thing. Like, you're gonna want good players in there. That's the Kuminga. You know, that's always the Slater argument, which I totally understand. Is those nights when Jimmy or Steph aren't playing, it's going to be like 35 nights, and you're going to want somebody who can put the ball in the bucket like we saw Kuminga did in the playoffs. You know, whether he's on or off the team, you're still going to need other guys, and Melton, I think, really does fit into that because he can play either guard spot, can play him with Steph, can play him with Pods, you can play him with whoever. So I think it's, you know, he's just another good player. Like, you just always – you don't only need eight players. You need, you know, 10 to 11 or – you know, 12 to 13 if you're talking about, you know, resting older players. And then you see how it works into going into theoretically the playoffs. So again, you can't count on Melton just because he's been hurt so much. Obviously, who knows what he still has left. That's one of the reasons they will be getting him, probably for the veterans minimum. But he's a good guy. Like, he's clearly fits what they do and has a little shake in him, right? That's the, like, he fits what they do and he's got a little shake in him. That's the problem they've got. Shake guys haven't fit what they do, and the system guys don't have any shake in them. You know, that's been the problem. Melton is kind of splits the middle of that really nicely if he's healthy. I just think you play him. You play, you know, you play the mix of them. And, you know, if he's the third guard, I think Steve would start Pod still. I think he would want to avoid any kind of, you know, like.
So you think he starts Pods instead of Buddy with.
Well, the playoffs will be Buddy. In the playoffs will be Buddy. But I just think for the regular season, for development, for minutes, I think Pods. He likes him out there because he does all these different things because he rebounds. And we'll see. You know, again, things should always be mixed up. But then, you know, Buddy kind of comes in with Melton. You know, then you have a kind of second unit around Jimmy. I like that second unit. You go Melton, Pods, Jimmy, Quentin Post. You know, you start building something there. So I don't see an issue of too many people, you know, because they haven't had enough the last couple of years. So too many solid players isn't a problem. I think you can always find minutes for them. You know, the guys you're fighting.
Didn't start the year. That was the whole message for the first.
Well, it was too many. It was way too many. They had to just cut it down. My God.
They're basically doing it again. Like,
I don't know. All I've heard is how desperate they need. And they need to make four or five moves. I go, guys, have you looked at their roster? They do not need four or five players. You just look at it. They're like pretty much done, except for the Kuminga thing. If you're baking in, as we are, Horford, GP2, and Melton. And that's what they've done. Like, those guys are, they're on, you know, they're waiting. They're waiting in line, but they're going to come to the Warriors by all, everything we understand. And then they have a pretty well set roster. And yeah, MT's even saying it's too much. They got to trade, do not 4-for-1. They got to do four for one.
It's a lot of dudes that are about the same level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the difficult part. Like, they've been through that. You need some, maybe one or two guys who could fit in, but I mean, it's the same situation.
Key Santos, Braxton Key, or what? No, Jackson Rowe. I'm sorry, is on the two way. So, Tui is way he's going to be.
Two way Tui, yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Tui might actually look good in the NBA. Like, you know, it ain't summer league. He might.
He might
do the Quint Post thing. Yeah,
he did not in summer league.
I expect Quint Post to do anything. Here he comes into the games, and all of a sudden he's.
Yeah.
So who knows? Like, they need some players who can't get their spots taken by Santos and Tui and Richards. Like, but they have a lot of guys who, to me, it just feels like the same situation again. And if you're Moody, and this is probably a lesson for JK. Like, Moody got paid, so I'm sure he could deal with it a little bit easy. It's different when you get paid to do it. You know, but if you're Pods, you're like, come on, man, I got this. Like, I have this. No, I got you. And that's why I do think they go, like, all right, Pods, this is your spot. And everybody else is
back. To start the season, I'd see.
But you know what's going to happen in camp. The vets are going to love Melton. They're going to love him. Like,
yeah, if he's better than Pods,
this movie before.
Yeah, you go with Pods. If he's better than Pods, you go with him at some point. You go for stretches, but that can change. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just don't ever think, you know, especially with aging stars, depth is never a bad thing because you're just going to go without them a bunch of times, and then you shake it out, and then you go down the stretch, you see who's your best stuff, and then you play those guys. And if you're sitting guys, like Steve has done, as we've seen in the important games, he is not shy about sitting who he wants to sit. Then you do it, and you live.
It's also why you're in the situation where you gotta.
Yeah, the Kuminga's a special. Kuminga's like that's a different one. It's a very, you know, it's a unique.
And don't think Pods won't be in this exact same situation.
Wow, you're calling it early.
I'm saying if he's like in and out of lineups, if you think Kuminga thinks he's good, what do you think Pods thinks?
Yes, you're right? Saying
like, exactly. Like, hold on, man. No, he thinks he should be playing.
No question.
Right? He thinks he should be in the game.
He's going to be playing. Pods is going to play. Come on, he's going to play. I mean, he might not play 35.
Exactly. But, that's what I mean by playing.
He's going to play 26 no matter what. He just is. And if he's shooting the ball, he's going to play 35. He's just shooting. Let's see if he shoots the ball. But I know what you're saying. I don't disagree with it. But that's just normal NBA competition. You don't want competition, MT? You're against competition on the floor?
Come on. No, I'm not. I like competition. I'm against, like I don't want to see the new Naked Gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's done. Don't run the same movie back again. This is the same movie.
We can do a depth chart here. Nine-man rotation, Steve. Who
you got?
I go, okay, you got to start Steph, Horford, Draymond, Jimmy, and let's say Pods. Then Melton, Hield, 7. Kuminga / Moody, both. We'll count them both. That's 9. That's 9 right there. So who's out? You've got GP2 if he signs. You've got Richard / Tui. One of them is going to be on the roster at some point, not both. That's 12. Then you've got Santos is 13. Post 4. Oh, I didn't put Post in there. So they got 10. They got 10-man rotation at this point. That's a little bit too much, but.
Who's Steve playing down the stretch? GP2?
Maybe not.
Late games, Melton. He's playing these guys. Buddy, that's 3 guys right there. Who's playing?
Steph, Draymond.
Obviously, Steph, Draymond.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Jimmy. So that's 6. Horford is 7.
Yeah. Pods is 8. Yeah, that's 8. 8's a fine closing rotation.
Who are we missing?
You're missing Moses again. Moses and Kuminga. That's like. Those would be Moses, Kuminga, Post would be the 3.
Oh, I ain't mad at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's like guys are getting hurt. Guys are going up and down. You know, because the Kuminga part is going to be – if he's back, and we both think he's going to be back, like where does he's just the first forward off the bench as usual and then got 18 minutes pretty much set, but – if he plays well, could he be 28, or is it somebody you got to start him at 26 and work from there?
You start him. How about just start him?
At what? What? Draymond at center then? How you doing that?
Just start him. Yeah, just start.
At what position? I'm saying, what position?
In Draymond's spot.
Is it Draymond?
Just start the season. Yeah, no, that's going to be. Well, what? Look, with if Horford is your starting center. It probably gives you a little bit more flexibility to play Kuminga, Draymond, and Jimmy together. But you're not playing Buddy. You're not playing, Hield. I don't know if Horford is such a shooting threat that him and Steph is enough to offset that. You know, I mean, look, one of the big things while Kuminga's doing all this, if he just comes back and he's a 38% three-point shooter, that's how he gets paid.
Yep.
That's the answer. Yep. Shoot 38% from 3. So if he comes back and he does that, he'll get paid. Because then he'll be able to fit more lineups, right? He'll be able to be in more action and not be – I mean, he's going to be deemed as a non-shooter for a while. But if he punishes teams for leaving them open, that's how he stays on the floor. That's how he's always stayed on the floor. So he'll fit more lineups if he can do that. But Horford – allows you, theoretically, the whole stretch 5 allows you to be a little bit more flexible with Kuminga. And I'm not saying he has to play with Draymond and Jimmy, but he could replace either one of those far easier for minutes if you got Horford in there. And if either one of them doesn't start, he's the natural guy to go in and start. Because, you know, Steve will start Moody in that spot in a heartbeat just to keep the floor spread. So, a lot of this does come down to Kuminga's ability to shoot the 3. If you're him, though, you're looking at this roster and saying, when, where, how can I possibly start?
Yes, yes.
And if you're not starting, you're not playing 30 minutes.
Yep. I agree. I mean, it's tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be pressure on it. I think some of this is Kuminga kind of leveraging that, and it's certainly fair, saying, you know, this is not going to really work. And Steve's going to get asked about this all the time, and we know he does not like getting asked about this. I get that, and it's a true thing. And, you know, if they bring him back, we'll have to all see how this kind of plays out. But I just don't. The Jimmy Butler thing is what just crashed the whole thing for me with Kuminga, is because I just don't see that. You're not playing him over Jimmy, and then he doesn't work with Jimmy. So, like, that really slivers it down to 14 minutes that, you know, Jimmy's not playing. And if you screw up in those 14, it might turn into 10. And that's where the problem is. And it could go there really quickly, unless there's just some blend of him and Jimmy. You know, he and Draymond isn't great, but it's okay. He and Steph is okay, not great. Certainly it's not adding to that. And if it's a negative with he and Jimmy, then the minutes aren't there. They're just not there. And, you know, maybe Kerr can say, I'll experiment. We'll see how this goes. But if it's not working after 20 games, it's not up to him to just keep doing it. He's only on a 1-year deal, man. I mean, he's not going to bank his whole, you know, final year. You know, I don't think it's his final year of the Warriors, but it could be, certainly contractually. No matter what, we're going to play the guy that I don't think really fits, but we're still going to do it because I still believe it. That's not going to happen. And everyone knows it's not likely to happen. So there's going to be pressures on it. I just think just get him paid at market rate. And I think market rate has been established. It's about 20. And then 24, but allow it to go from there, because you have to get through this base year problem. And that if you just do it this way, the deal that is acceptable to him with whatever guarantee you have to go to, and then you deal with it again in January, February, and everyone will know you're doing it in January, February. You start like delaying this till the end of next year on a qualifying offer. That's a long time, man. That's like 5 years that he'd be in this league, and they still don't know what he's going to be. And he still hadn't get paid at that point. Just, I think the time is to get himself $30 million, whatever the number is, and deal with it after that. Again, it's still negotiable. Those numbers aren't exactly on the table, but because of what we're talking about, MT, you and I, even in just hypotheticals, can't figure out what the real role is. We still can't do that. That means that John Kuminga can't. And it's like, get your money, figure out it's a bridge to the next team.
It will require benching somebody who's a core piece of this.
I mean, really, like we've always said, Moody or him. It's really been Moody or him for a lot of years. I don't think Steve wants to bench Moses Moody. I really don't think he wants to. He's done it. I don't think he wants to. Who else could get, you know, Quentin Post? I think Kerr's going to want to play Quentin Post. You know, who else could it be who gets their minutes cut? It's not going to be Draymond. It's not going to be Jimmy. So you're really starting to go down the list here of guys that are going to be above John Kuminga just to start, real at the start. And then you might have other guys moving up and down as that goes.
But in fairness, Jonathan Kuminga, are you really sure you want to go to SAC? I know. There's a minute. It's like a bounty of minutes at the end of the rainbow. I see it. It's all kind of shots, right? Mm. But just look at Keegan Murray's career. Mm. I'm not sure if you try to think of it, that's where you want to be. Keegan Murray is a really good player. And the Kings have a way with young talent. That's all. The Kings have a way of.
Well, they wouldn't want to be acquiring Kuminga if they love Keegan Murray and they thought he was the next guy, because Kuminga's gonna. You can imagine if Keegan Murray and Kuminga comes in there, like he's not gotten a lot of shots already. His shots are gonna go way down if he's a four combo with Kuminga and Sabonis at center and Schroeder. We should look up the Schroeder Kuminga 2-man minutes for the Warriors last season. I bet you they were not very good. And there might be a ton of that in Sacramento.
You don't think they were good? What you mean?
I don't think anybody's minutes with Schroeder were very good last year. Based on what I remember, they were not good. But they, you know,
I wouldn't be rushing to the Kings. That's all I'm saying. if I'm Kuminga, I'm probably not rushing to the Kings.
What year was that when Iguodala had that? I'm going to go sign with the Kings. What was that, right? Or one of those? Like he met with them?
Like 18 or yeah.
It's like, maybe not. They're offering me more money, but I just want the Warriors to up their offer a little bit.
Oh, no, that's right. The first time, 13, the Kings did offer him more money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yep. That was 2013.
Yeah, there was the Rockets in 18, right? It was he was going to set the site.
The Rockets was in 18.
Yeah, I still laugh about that. I was like, I'm going to force a sign and trade. You can't force the sign and trade. You literally have to have the Warriors agree to it. But I get what he was doing. He was Andre Iguodala. It's why he's the incredible negotiator that he is. But yeah, I'm hoping Kuminga gets a shot. I really do, because I want to see this guy play. I think he's really talented. I just think the Butler thing closed the door in a lot of ways for him with the Warriors. It just was the player at a position that is doing stuff that works. And once you're committed to that, and you can't fit Kuminga around that because he just doesn't fit with it. And then it just that ended this. They just had to figure out the way this is going to work out. If there was a great sign and trade deal out there, it would have happened. It hasn't happened. I think that's where the Warriors are. Like, if there was a great thing out there, we would have done it. And it's not happening. It's not going to happen on August 4th, right? It was going to happen. It was going to happen in July. So, okay, we're done listening. And now we got to get this guy, you know, resolved. Come in for the deal that we're offering you. Or maybe they negotiate a little bit more. Then we have something else to talk about, man. We could use something else to talk about, MT. We've been talking about this for 4 months, 6 months, eight. I don't even know. We've been talking about the same thing for a long time. Maybe there's a resolution. It's like MT is calling it. There's a resolution coming. Just make it happen, MT.
All right. I got the Schrader Kuminga minutes. Minus 28. In 121 minutes,
yeah,
together,
yeah. No, I mean, listen, it was all bad. I mean, it's like there weren't a lot of made shots when those two were on the floor together, is what I remember. Not a lot of chemistry,
not a lot of made shots
with Schroeder with anybody. It was sad. It was like he's a guy who could have made a big difference for them. It just was not happening. The difference between Melton and Schroeder was just so large.
What was the two man with Schroeder that was the worst?
Let me think here. Moses?
No, Wiggins.
Okay, I can't even
minus one or
that. I forgot he was even on the team. It's hard to remember that team. Those players like Kyle Anderson, I don't even remember. Yeah, Lindy Water. How were the Lindy Waters minutes with Schroeder?
Did he have them?
I don't even know. I think you're asking me, like, feels like ancient history when Wiggins was on the team.
Minus 40, Lindy Water. Minus 40.
The Kings go get Lindy Waters. He's a free agent. He'll be perfect for you. No, I guess somebody just signed Lindy Waters, I think. So,
yeah, Schroeder and Wiggins and Schroeder and Hield and Schroeder and Trace Jackson. Listen, of the top 10 worst two-man pairs, Schroeder's in 1, 2, 3. Four of five of them
in what 20 games or whatever that was. God.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, five of them. Stephen Schroeder minus 57, Schroeder and Loney minus 60, Schroeder and TJD minus 77, Schroeder and Hill minus 85, Schroeder and Wiggins minus 111.
Minus 111. How many games, Schroeder and Wiggins?
22 games.
22 games. That's minus 5. Every single time they were on the floor together in a game, minus 5. Just automatic. Start at -5 when you were playing those two guys together. Yikes. That is hard. That's like almost never. You've never had a plus time, those two guys. Like, never. And then you have the minus 11s and minus 14s. Like,
oh. Yeah, that's tough to pull off. And that is,
that's why they were, what were they, 34 and 35, whatever, before they got Jimmy, whatever that number was. That's why, even with Steph playing well and all the other stuff, they did not have anything else. And we'll see if they got him.
I'm sure you'd appreciate this, but TJD is in 5 of these lineups.
Yeah, it's like there was a reason why. Like, I hated to be mean about that, and I was probably not very mean, but I was pointing out, like, he was not good last year. He played better.
He was really good.
Though. Yeah, he played better, and he was good in the playoffs. Right, a couple games there, but he just.
I like TJD. I'm gonna have to defend TJD against you.
He's a good guy. He was not good last year. He was good as a rookie. last season he was not good. Pod started terribly, and TJD started not good and was not good all the way through. Pod's rallied. Like, at some point, I'll just say this, some point, guys who don't shoot a lot, they better be really good at everything else, because if they don't shoot a lot and then they're not good at everything else, they're not good. They're just not good. And like Andre, like he didn't shoot very much at the end of his career, but he did so much other stuff. And even then, he wasn't that valuable. You got to shoot. Guys got to be able to score, at least be threats to score.
You can't be timid about it.
Yeah.
You only help the defense far too much. It's not like back in the day where you just did your role and that was it. Like, nah.
No.
You're detrimental.
That's why, like, Draymond being aggressive, I mean, some people get, roll their eyes when it, but you got to take the shot if it's there. Like, you do have to take that shot. You can't just pass it and pass it and pass it. And they have a lot of times they're just passing it. Even with Steph, like, you just can't. I mean, Steph wants other threats on the floor, right? He doesn't want four guys just passing it to him. He wants guys that defenses have to react to, so they react to the other guy, then Steph gets a shot. That's how this works.
Not with
four guys the defense doesn't care about. So,
by the way, who was the best two-man lineup last year?
Let me see. Very Jimmy, obvious answer. Jimmy and Steph.
Nope.
Steph, well, you're just doing raw, okay. You're just doing raw numbers because Jimmy and Steph play fewer games. But I bet you their rate was better. What were they on the raw numbers?
Let's see. Plus 239. Yeah, Butler and Pods per game were best. Butler and Draymond. Butler and Steph, they were good. They just were down there. Raw total numbers. Draymond and Steph, plus 239. Steph and Buddy, plus 224. Butler and Pods, 227. But Hield is in a lot of these lineups.
He is. That's why Kerr kept starting him in the playoffs. Like, he was not taking him out because the numbers are really good with him and the starters. Like, he's good with good players. That's the thing with Buddy.
Yeah.
Like, he's not so good. You really lose Buddy if you're playing him with non-good players. You play him with good players, and you get the most out of Buddy. And those other players feel the effect of it because you have to guard Buddy. If Buddy's 1-for-11 from three, it doesn't matter. You got to guard him.
You got to get out. Matter of fact, you got to guard him even more if he's 1-for-11.
Because the ball's still going up. That's for sure.
You know, and it's like, at some point, this is going to level out. So,
yep.
Yeah, but Buddy and Pods. I mean, in 25 games, second highest two-man pair on the Warriors. In 25 games, like right behind Steph and Draymond, who played 60 games together.
Why did they only play 25 games together? That seems weird.
They only played 27.
What? But it was Pods and Quentin Post who really felt the effect of playing with Jimmy. I guess Moody to some effect too. Yeah, you're confusing me with Butler and Buddy.
Butler.
Yeah.
And Pods, number two man game on the in 25 games. They're right behind Steph and Draymond. That was a pretty effective duo there.
Well, they won a lot of games within that stretch. They won a lot of freaking games.
Yeah, they did.
That's why they're pulling into this season feeling good about themselves.
Just so you know, breaking the top 20, 13th best two-man lineup, Steph and Kuminga.
There you go. Kuminga was fine with Steph. Like, that's always been
Steph and Kuminga.
Yeah, that's always the most important number maybe in the Warriors is how you do with Steph. But it's also like if you can't do it with Butler, then that's a problem. That has been the problem. And I don't know which way you get it, how you get around that. I just don't know how you get around that going into this game. It'll be a question that they won't really know how to answer if Kuminga's there, at the podium, first day of training, media day training camp. How's this going to work? It's like, he's not going to know. He's going to say, just give me the ball. And then we'll see if Steve Kerr and everyone else can figure it out.
Well, we'll be with you the next, if anything happens over this next week or the next few days, or if anything adjusts, anything changes, we'll be here to talk about it. If not, we will just discuss Jonathan Kuminga again, because that's what we do on Warriors Plus Minus. This is Jonathan Kuminga Plus Minus now. That's what this is. So until next time, we will check you out. Please like and subscribe, retweet, you know, do all those things to keep Warriors Plus Minus going. Pretty soon we'll start having guests and all that. It will be great. So check us out. Warriors Plus Minus is out.